So last week in Revelation chapter 12, we went over some things. And in Revelation chapter 12, let me zip open my Bibles here too. If you remember, in Revelation chapter 12 and 13, there are lots of signs and symbols, if you remember. In Revelation chapter 12, there were five main characters or five main signs or symbols we talked about. The woman, which is Israel, the dragon, which is Satan, the male child, which is Jesus Christ, Michael, which is literally the archangel Michael, and the offspring are the tribulation saints during that time, okay? And so we talked about how Satan's final fall from heaven, he's going to be kicked out and no longer be allowed access into heaven to be able to accuse the brothers day and night. And he's been hurled down during this time, and the heavens rejoice, but the earth is just freaking out because now it's going to be worse than ever. He's filled with fury because he knows his time is exceptionally short during this time. The dragon is chasing the woman. Satan is chasing Israel, those righteous, redeemed, those who get saved, who had given birth to the male child, is chasing them into probably Petra or a place into the wilderness. In that time in the wilderness for 3.5 years, she's protected. She's carried there on eagle's wings, protected by the Lord during that time out of the serpent's reach. The dragon is enraged during this time, and he's off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. In other words, those righteous, redeemed, those who've gotten saved, either those 144,000 or those who've gotten saved through them, those who keep God's command and hold fast to their testimony. It will be a terrible time of persecution like none other for Christians, for those who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we told you to hold fast to your faith. Last week, we told you to hold fast to the Word of God, because people aren't going to want to listen to it anymore, just what their itching ears want to hear. And lastly, we told you to hold fast to Jesus in love, because he's going to deliver us, he's going to protect us, because we know his name. Now, as we enter Revelation 13, we're going to meet an antagonist. Now, it's interesting, my family loves movies, and especially my son Elijah, and I hear him talking about, you know, hey, the protagonist in this film and the antagonist in this film. And I didn't know what they were talking about. And okay, I love movies. I don't know all the names of stuff. And protagonist, okay. So I guess for those of you who don't know, the protagonist in any drama, right, is the hero, right? Okay. And the antagonist would be, I don't know, the anti-hero. He's the one who's setting up roadblocks, who's maybe appearing to deceive, like looks like an ally, but then the big reveal, he's the evil guy. So he's putting up roadblocks, or he's fighting him off by hand-to-hand combat, whatever it is. If you were, okay, I'm a geeky guy, so like I like comic books and stuff. And so if this was Superman, the antagonist would be Lex Luthor. If it was Batman, the antagonist would be Joker, or whatever. If this was Luke Skywalker, the antagonist would be Darth Vader. We just watched Conan the Barbarian, as all the boys were like, yeah. Mom was like, ugh. We watched the Conan the Barbarian series, and in that, Thulsa Doom was the nemesis, Conan the Barbarian. Anyway, so here, in this drama in Revelation 13, this literal drama that's going to be unfolding, it splashes up at us. It comes off the pages in this drama, and we're going to meet literally who's going to be the world's worst antagonist, because we have an antagonist that's been working since the Garden of Eden against us. But this antagonist in the form, Satan in the form of a rising up a beast who's going to be the greatest antagonist, I think, to Christians that the world has ever known, at least in this human form type of thing. And it's going to be horrific. But during this drama, as we look at Revelation 13, look at it with me, it's amazing, and hopefully we'll get through all of it. That's the goal. All right, so let's start off, if we can, in verse 1. I'll put up the little Okay, we'll splash off in verse 1 during this drama here. It starts off in Revelation 13. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. Starts off with that. Now, just really quickly, you guys who have been here, who is the dragon? Satan. Thank you. Okay, good. You remember the signs and symbols of 12 and 13. So the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. All right, you got that one right. And then it says, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. So the dragon's on the shore, and he says, I saw a beast coming out of the sea, and it had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. Now, when we look at that picture, basically, as soon as those who are redeemed in Israel flee to this wilderness for 3.5 years of protection, Satan, the dragon, summons the greatest Satan-empowered antagonist in history, and that is this beast, okay? And Daniel's four beasts, if you remember our teaching in the book of Daniel, that prophetic book on end times, you remember that the four beasts in Daniel were also seen rising out of the sea in Daniel chapter 7. You can read that for yourself or listen to it online. The sea, I want you to know, for a Jewish person, was a scary place. It was a wild place. It was an untamed place, okay? There's only two times, and I could be, somebody could correct me, just please do it afterwards. But there are only two times in biblical history that I remember Israel even having like a navy. And it wasn't even really a navy. It was really merchant ships. The only time they've had a navy is now when they've come back onto the scene just recently for these end time events. So there's only two times that I even remember them having sailors. They were not known for their sailing ability. And so the sea or great waters to Jewish people, it was scary, it was foreign. And so one time was in 1 Kings chapter 9 when King Solomon built fleets, trading fleets, and they weren't manned by Israelites. They had Tyre, the king of Tyre and Sidon, sent basically Hiram was his name, and he sent sailors who knew the sea to serve on the fleet with Solomon's men. So they basically did the stuff for him. And the only other time that I could think of was in 2 Chronicles 20 when King Jehoshaphat of Judah, who was, if I remember correctly, a pretty good king, made an alliance with Ahaziah in Israel, which all the kings of Israel down south were bad. They were wicked. And a prophet came along and said, hey, because you've made an alliance with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you've made. And the ships were wrecked and they were not able to set sail and trade. So that's the only time I remember. Now, the beast coming out of the sea speaks of its origin, of his kingdom is from the Gentile nations. Okay, so this beast that's going to rise up is going to be from the Gentile nations. And how do I know that? Well, it says so. Revelation 17, 15, speaking of that, it says, then the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the harlot sits, the prostitute sits, are the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, and the languages. So this beast is going to rise up somewhere out of the Gentile nations, this Antichrist figure, okay? Other scriptures that kind of allude to it, Isaiah 17, 12 to 13, woe to many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples that roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Or Psalm 144, 7, which says, reach down your hand from on high, deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners. So he's going to be coming, rising up from these Gentile nations. Okay, does that make sense? The beast, John calls him a beast, not a dragon. So this represents somebody totally new on the scene. This is a distinct figure from the dragon, okay? That's who Satan was represented by. So although the beast is distinct from the dragon, He's also closely identified with him. If you remember from Revelation chapter 12, they each have seven heads and 10 horns. They'll have the same evil nature, the same goals, bent on destroying Christians, anything good, anything godly, anything true. He's going to be a liar, a deceiver, a swindler, a slanderer, a blasphemer. They're going to have the same nature, I would say, the same goal. The beast is also referred to as the man of lawlessness or the lawless one in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10. Speaking of that Antichrist character, it says, the coming of the lawless one, or some of your translations might say man of lawlessness, is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. And why are they perishing? Because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. That's the bottom line. Can I just be honest with you? Most people, the reason why they don't bend the knee to Jesus is simply they do not want to. They refuse to bend the knee. They refuse to bow and believe in the truth and the way, the truth, and life, and be saved. And it's going to increase. Church is going to be fine. They now have atheist churches. I kid you not. Atheist churches, yeah, where they all gather together. They have cult communities. Should I even say it? The Lord told me not to. Even Sarasota, they've got all sorts of different, that get together. But here's the reason why. It's because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. And so this lawless one is that's who he's speaking of here, is this Antichrist. He's also known, a.k.a. just means also known as, the Antichrist. And it's mentioned only in four Bible verses in the Bible. Antichrist is mentioned 1 John 2:18, 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 7. Where it talks about the Antichrist, who this beast is. Now, the Greek prefix for anti can mean opposite of or instead of. So I want to get in your mind, because I don't know that it could be like this. The Antichrist could look opposite of Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Jesus is loving. This one is just so hateful, it's dripping off him. Jesus was kind and humble. This guy could be proud. All these things could be absolutely true. Or that prefix could mean instead of. In other words, he starts off looking really good. He's got the gelled hair, the capped teeth. He knows just how to speak, how to appear humble, how to be a deceiver. Right? That's just like Satan, isn't it? And he could look like our Christ to those who don't know any better, to most of the people who don't know what their Bibles say. And so I want you to understand, it doesn't necessarily mean opposite. I actually think he's going to look more like in place of or instead of Christ. And people are going to be like, oh, I guess I should worship him. He looks like he has powers. He's got signs and wonders, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to be looking for? And they're going to bow down and worship him because they don't know any better. Because they didn't take the time, like you're doing, to come to know him better, to know his word better. They just wanted to hear at the time what their itching ears wanted to hear. Tell us pleasant things. Feed us snack. Hey, there's no Panera here. Why should I come? Where's the pizza? I don't know. There's no fresh coffee made. You know what I'm saying? Unlike you, they're here to know the Lord better and to know his word better. So I spent a lot of time on this, but it's important. Here, hit the lights, Chris, just for a second, only because it's a little hard to see. I don't know why, but anyway. Now, the seven heads are kingdoms or governments. And how do I know that? Because later, Revelation 17, 19 says, the seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules, and they also represent the seven kings. So these are seven kingdoms, seven governments. And somebody said Hydra, I think it was you, and it almost presents like, man, this thing's like almost impossible to kill. You kill one, it's got another head, So it's meant to look like that. And the horns of the Bible usually speak of strength and power in the Bible, right? But times 10 is like, talk about ultimate strength and power. It's not the ultimate, but it's got a lot. Okay? And Revelation 17, 12 says these 10 horns you saw were kings or kingdoms, right? Who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour, that's a short period of time, will receive authority as kings along with the beast. Now, you can talk about who, oh, this could be, could this be China? I looked up worshiping the dragon, and it's kind of funny. All these Chinese dragons came up, people worshiping. Could it be the European Union? Who knows? I don't know. But what I do know is it will happen. And it's going to represent, you know, 10 of those kingdoms. The 10 crowns speak of their great authority that they're going to have during this time. And the blasphemous name on each of their heads, I think this speaks of their message and their character against God. Like, you can hit the lights, thanks. Like, when I got saved, whenever we baptize someone, and by the way, if you want to get baptized, if you got saved, you know what? Let us know. We always baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into Jesus' name, or in Jesus' name, right? In other words, we're now dying to self. We're associating ourselves not with my name. I'm now associating myself with the name and the character of Jesus. In other words, even as sinful and as big of a knucklehead as Pastor Darren is, as much as it's within me, I want to continue to die to self, to surrender those rooms, give him free access to clean out whatever he needs to clean out so I can glorify him, so I can no longer make a name for Pastor Darren and the Church of Darren and the ministry of Darren Schellbauer. It's all points to Jesus. That's what our lives are supposed to do. When it says you're in his name, we represent his name, you represent his name and character. You are his ambassador. Think about that. So these blasphemous names, I think they're going to have be speaking of their message and their character is going to be against God, against Jesus, against the Holy Spirit, against the Word of God. And so that's what I think that's going to be about. It goes on to say in Revelation 13:2, it goes on to say, the beast I saw resembled. Now, he's trying to describe this picture, this symbol that he's seeing. Resembled a leopard, but it had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and his great authority. And so when we read something like that, first off, my head just explodes. It's like, what? Now, the first thing we have to remember is in Revelation 12 and 13, these are signs and symbols. So what I'm saying to you is, I don't think rising out of the sea is going to be like a Gamera or a Godzilla creature with, you know, leopard heads and bear feet and mouths. I don't think it's going to be like a Godzilla, okay? It's a sign. It's a symbol of stuff. And so just that's what Revelation 12 and 13 are telling us. If you don't know what I'm speaking about, watch the last 2 weeks, Revelation 12. Last two teachings, and that will tell you. The beast is probably either going to be a man possessed by a demon from the abyss, empowered by Satan himself, or an actual demon masquerading as an angel of light that came from the abyss, that's, I don't know, possessed of some by Satan. Almost picture it like this, like if Jesus is the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, of God, picture this being, this beast, being an incarnation of the devil, okay, in human form. And this man is going to be empowered by Satan. He's going to have his throne, his power, his authority, and he is going to have awesome influence and power that goes beyond. It'll be supernaturally inspired. Revelation 7:18, I probably should have put this on the next slide. It would have gone better, but I didn't think of it when I was making it. Revelation 17:8 says that this man, the beast, this Antichrist, will apparently die and come back to life like a deceptive counterfeit of Jesus. And anyone who isn't saved already, the Bible said whose names aren't written in the Lamb's book of life, they're going to be deceived. They're going to be like, whoa, This must be what the Christians are talking about. This must be, and if they, and this powerful deception, they're going to be amazed. They're going to be astonished. They're going to be blown away, and they're going to worship this beast also. That's why it's so important for you to know the Lord now, to make sure your calling and election is secure. Don't waste your time, your brain power, your life. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's his promise. He loves you. He doesn't want you affected by any deception or demonic influence. The world is, but that's by their choice, not because God's not trying to save them. The picture for us of the beast reminds us of the beast in our Daniel study in Daniel chapter 7. And I don't... Probably most of you, or half of you at least, weren't here for that study. I wish I had it on video, just audio. But basically, in Daniel 7, when talking about the prophetic end times, the lion, or talking about his vision, the lion was pictured as the Babylonian Empire. The bear was pictured as the Medo-Persian Empire. The leopard as a Greek Empire. And lastly, the beast, the fourth animal in Daniel 7, which shared the most terrifying characteristics of the previous beast and represents the final world empire under the leadership of a satanic dictator, which is this guy. All right? So, John presents this beast as an extension of that fourth beast of Daniel 7. He connects his empire with the characteristics of the great empires from the past. In other words, this final world empire will have the speed of a leopard, the crushing power of a bear, and the authority and ferociousness of a lion. Capiche? It says, it goes on to say in Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4, that one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. And then it says, the people worshipped the dragon, because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshiped the beast. And they asked, who's like the beast? And who can wage war against it? So when we talk about this, when we talk about worshiping the beast, I don't know what that's going to look like. Can you hit the lights, Chris, for just a second? I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. So I'm going to tell you what I think, and that's all it is. So, could it be that people will set up little, worshipy things like this and literally, are they going to worship evil? Are they going to embrace darkness? Well, I'll be honest with you. Even as a Christian, 10 years ago, I would have said, I just don't see it happening. But honestly, I see the world actually going that direction. Listen, if you're not in California, I listened to a lawmaker. He's been in California. I think it was for 10 years he's been serving, and he said, "Man, it got so bad." He was saying that they passed a bill where if you don't affirm your children's gender or whatever they think they should be. A puppy, a man, a woman, whatever they feel like at that moment, if you don't affirm that as a parent, they can take your children away.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? And this, he was saying this publicly. He said, I used to say, listen, if you were from California, you should love this state. Fight, fight, fight. He said this, I'm not saying that anymore. He said, I'm saying flee the state. Get out of here. Get out while you still can. It's, yes, sir.
Welcomes all.
Oh yeah, really? The double welcomes all? Really?
They have it on their fries and on the front window of some of the restaurants.
Yeah. I would just say it's getting crazy out there. And so, listen, can I just be honest with you? Listen, and there's a lot of different things. Listen, if somebody who was telling me, I don't want to get too off track here, but listen, if I affirmed every time, I've had boys for a long time, if I affirmed everything they thought at every given time in their life, and said, oh, yeah, I support that. First off, I would be an idiot. Anybody who thinks that has never had children. Or secondly, let me tell you something. They don't love their children. Because you know what? If my son, I just feel like I should just not do anything in the house. And I just feel like I should be... No, you're going to work hard. You're a part of this family. We teach them what's right. They're teen. You know what I'm saying? So listen, don't be listening to that. So I don't know if the world is so going to embrace evil that, and it might be this. Give me a few minutes. You guys just wait. I see a lot of hands up. You're going to have to wait because I got a lot of material to cover. But here's the deal. The world is either going to so embrace evil that good is going to look evil and evil is going to look good. Listen. Either that, and it could be that, and if you don't side with them, let me tell you, you're going to be banned from this and cut off from... It may be that the case. Or it may be more, honestly, it could be that. I wouldn't have thought that was possible even 10 years ago as a Christian. Now I can really see it. However, it also may be that this guy is a deceiver and he's going to look like this beautiful, good, leading everybody to good things and helpful things. And he's going to, and like the Bible, when it's talking about Satan and his demons, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:15, these servants, the beast and all his demons, hit the light, Chris, for a second. It says, it is not surprising then that his servants, speaking of Satan, also masquerade as servants of righteousness. But the Bible says their end will be what their actions deserve. Listen, they're going to be successful for a short period of time. They absolutely will. But let me tell you, in the end, it is going to be weeping of gnashing of teeth forever and ever and or extinction. So I don't know which that is going to be, but however it is, you need to be so filled with the truth, so know what the truth looks like, that if somebody presented you a counterfeit, you'd be able to tell because you spent so much time with the truth that you just recognize it. They used to be able to identify counterfeit bills, not by showing the hundreds of counterfeit bills out there, but they would have the Treasury Department folks they would have them study the real thing so that they know it, they knew it so well that if anything else false came, they'd be like, it might look like it, but it's not it. Let me tell you. We need to be the same way with the Word of God, which is why it's being so watered down in churches and seeing Jesus for who he is, right? Does that make sense, everybody? It goes on to say, this is in Revelation chapter 13, 5 through 7, in talking about the beast. Now, I have to make one thing, and my wife's going to probably get mad at me for this. My wife's like, we're talking about the beast here. She's like, why is that guy on fire? Why did you put that picture up there? Okay, so here's the deal. This guy is my personification of the beast. In other words, handsome, good-looking guy, but really inwardly, he's this demonic creature. I'm not putting up a guy who is on fire. That would be kind of cruel. Okay, everybody get that? All right. It goes on and says in Revelation 13, 5 through 7, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words, blasphemies, and to exercise authority for 42 months. That 42 months is the 1,200, it's the last 3.5 years, okay, of this tribulation period. And let me tell you something, pride is not a little thing. Now, we're not talking about, hey, I'm really thankful I accomplished this feat today. I took my kids out to ice cream. I feel good about myself. We're not talking about those type things, right? We're talking about, I don't need God. I don't need to be obedient to his word. I don't need to bow down to him. I don't need him leading my life, right? I live my own life. I don't need him telling me what to do, right? That's what that pride is. Does that make sense? And let me tell you, pride isn't a little thing with the Lord. It's just not. We like to ignore it, but that sort of pride, listen, can I tell you up? I stand up here as a pastor and I sometimes get some horrible things said about me, like no human should get said to them. And sometimes I get amazing things said that I don't think anybody human should say. And but the only, if you see anything good in me, anything true, you see that because of the Holy Spirit working in a sinful man who's working out icky stuff and putting in good godly stuff. Does that make sense? But pride is something the Lord detests. Listen, it says this in Proverbs 16:5. The Lord detests all the proud in heart. Now, can I tell you how popular this statement is? About as popular as, you know, I don't know. I was trying to think of something funny, but I couldn't come up with it real quickly. But it doesn't say the Lord kind of doesn't like the proud in heart. The Lord thinks you should kind of get rid of it. What does it say? The Lord what?
Detests.
Now think about that. That's a strong word, isn't it? Like when I think, okay, I might not like, what don't I like, honey? Give me something, a food that I don't like. Yeah. I might detest anchovies. Okay, my wife loves anchovies. I don't like them. I don't want to eat them. I really don't. But I can't say I detest them. Like, I would as a joke. But I wouldn't be like, Lisa, get those anchovies away from me. How could you let them in the house? I detest them. Right. But the Lord is using that word for pride. And he says the Lord detests all the proud in heart. Because you're setting yourself up as a rebellious against him. And he says this, listen to this. If that's not bad enough, be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. I don't know about you, but if God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, oh, hallelujah, Lord, I want to be humble. I don't like, might not like the process of being humbled, so I'm going to humble myself but so I don't have to get humbled from the Lord. But it says they won't go unpunished. It goes on to say that it opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and all those who are in heaven. So not only is he proud, he's a blasphemer. And listen, I don't know if you know this either, but just from speaking from experience, listen, when we use the Lord's name in vain or the name of Jesus Christ, many of us have used Jesus' name, the one that holds everything together, who every knee is going to bow on heaven and earth and under the earth, right? And we've used his name to express human feces, disgust. And probably all of us have done that. That's why I need, at least, I'll just speak for me. I need the blood of Christ to cleanse me from all sin. I need him in me, right? I need his righteousness because I'm not righteous enough. So when it says it opened its mouth to blaspheme God, I want you to know that he's not going to hold those guiltless who do that. Exodus 20 verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold them guiltless. Who take his name in vain. In other words, listen, that name above every name really is a name above every other name. And he won't hold anyone guiltless. That's why I need him to cleanse me from all sin. You want to stand in that pride and you think you can make it on your own? Let me tell you, you're setting yourself up for a hell of a lot of trouble. And I mean that. Hell of a lot of trouble. Goes on to say it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, and language. So Satan is now in full force for this limited time period. He's given full power to wage war on God's holy people and to what? During this time. It's going to be a horrific time. So whether you're fighting him now or then, you have to realize that were only, like Mark said, strong in the Lord's mighty power. Listen, if someone comes in here, because I've seen wonderful miracles. Can I just be honest with you? I don't know if that freaks people out, if I don't want to scare anybody. I've prayed for people. I've seen, experienced. I know how God works. It's amazing, okay? However, he doesn't work on demand. You know, this is not pay-per-view. I ask. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. It's his will. But if somebody came in here and with a gun, well, probably our folks would take him down, but and said, hey, you either deny Christ or that's it. You know, well, one of two things can happen. I'm going to pray, but you know what? He could, and God might deliver me right then and there. Or I might go to be with my Lord in that next second, right? But either way, I'm delivered. I want to stand strong in the Lord. So whether it's during this time period where they're going to be conquered or before, however, whenever you're fighting right now, listen, you must know that the Bible says this. How do we fight against that now or later? Ephesians 6:10 is the key. That armor of God, suit yourself up. Read Ephesians chapter 6. And it says, finally, what, like Mark says, be strong in you and how awesome of a Christian you are. In all your Bible knowledge, what does it say? Be strong in the and in his mighty power. You ask for that unction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Debbie, you've raised your hand like 7 times, so I'm going to have to. What? Yes, ma'am. You. It's okay, honey.
You know, there are people.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What happens?
Okay, well, here's what I would say. One of two things, okay? She says, well, what about those people who call themselves Christians, but they're still living, they're saying nasty words? Now, one of two things. I don't know a person's heart. You know, I don't know their background. I've had certain things in my life where the Lord has supernaturally removed. Same thing with my wife. Supernaturally. I didn't have to fight one little bit. There's other things, other sin. Dang it, I have to wrestle with it daily. Take captive those thoughts. Make it obedient to Christ, right? But here's what I do know. In some of those cases, people are professing Christianity, but they're not Christians. They talk about religion, but they don't have the power to overcome. Also, however, I got to be careful not to judge them because they could also be a Christian that's struggling with something. Or a stronghold in an area that they're struggling to overcome. But usually you can tell the Christian because they'll feel terrible about their sin, right? And they'll be working hard. They'll be taking the Bible studies. They'll be coming to church. They'll be doing devotion. They'll be seeking, knocking, fighting against that, right? Whereas a non-Christian would be like, whatever. I'm covered. I don't need to worry about that. God has saved us. Not that we would sit in our sin. He saved us so we would be free from our sin. So as a Christian, I am empowered by the Holy Spirit to overcome that sin. Now, whether that takes 2 days, 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 years, life, do you see what I'm saying? So I can't really say, but it could go either way. It could just be a stronghold that they're fighting, or it could be that they're not a Christian. Does that make sense? So make your calling and election sure. Now, before it's too late. Because in Revelation 13, 8, and 9, it says all the inhabitants of the earth will worship that beast, whether they know it or not. Hit the lights because a lot of these dark slides. I got to get a brighter projector. All those whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. They're all going to worship that beast. But God has made you to be an overcomer because of Christ living in you. So don't you dare just sit in your sin and think that's how it's going to be. You don't understand. He's called you to overcome your sin, whatever that is. And he'll empower you to do it. Have faith, believe, seek, knock, so the door will be open to you. He goes on to say in Revelation 13:10, if anyone during this time, this last 3.5 years tribulation, if anyone goes into captivity, they will go. If anyone is to be killed by the sword, meaning Christians or whatever, with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Can I tell you what I see that Christians lack the most of? Patient endurance and faithfulness. Pastor, why do I got to all go through all these problems? Hit the lights. Why do I have to go through all these things? Why do I have to struggle through this? Why? Why am I being tested in this area? So you can learn patience, endurance now. He loves you. That's why. Like a good dad teaching his kids stuff. You remember Jacob? Oh, processing, stand by. Jacob I love, Esau I hated. Do you know what the main difference between those two, Jacob and Esau, if you remember that scripture verse? Jacob, right? Esau, God just let him go after his own way. He didn't try to make him holy. You want to go that way, Esau? You want to know how I'm manifesting that? Okay. He was blessed in a lot of ways. He had money, power, prestige, Esau. But he didn't have God's refinement, God teaching him how to be holy. God's discipline. God disciplines those he loves. And anyone he entreats at his son. He didn't have that. Jacob. God had to like wrestle that boy down. I'm going to change your name. You know what I'm saying? So listen, if he's teaching you certain things with godliness, he wants you to learn to be patient and endure and to be faithful now. All these things are so that your faith can be strengthened. It's actually for your benefit. It doesn't seem like it's for our benefit. It seems like this stinks. But it's actually made to strengthen you. And we need that endurance. Listen, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, 36, for you have need of endurance, Christian, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Either way. It's that crowns that we receive, you can either have glory on this earth or in heaven. Listen, James 1, 12 says this, God blesses those who what? Patiently endure testing and temptation. Most times I see Christians, I just can't take it. I just can't take it. I'm just not going to go to church today. I just can't take it. I can't take it. I can't take the Bible study. It's just too much homework. Can't take it. Can't take it. I can't take it, Pastor. It's just too much. I can't read my Bible. Please. Yeah, you can. You're just not. It says that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. But it says afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You won't even care about this stuff down here. Right? How long, Pastor Gary?
48 minutes.
Yep. Okay, we're speeding up then. Revelation, I'm gonna skip an ending part and I'll save it for next week. Revelation 13, 11 through 13 goes on to say, then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. Oh, I should have made that on a separate line. That would look nicer. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of people. Now, wow. Okay, well, think of this second beast, right? Think of this as the kind of, oh, I put ant-trinity. What a knucklehead. I meant to put anti-trinity. Think of this as the anti-trinity. In other words, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So now you have the dragon, which is anti-God, that's Satan. You have the first beast, which is anti-Christ, and then the second beast, which is like the anti-Holy Spirit. So this is the unholy anti-Trinity, okay? So there are four things that I notice. First, the second beast is distinct from the dragon and the first beast, all right? It's different. This second beast is distinct in appearance because the second beast seems to have more of a lamb-like appearance. It says so right here. It had only two horns, and it was like a lamb. So maybe it looked a little bit more like, you know, casual, peaceful, whatever, lamb-like in appearance, however you want to say that. This second beast is distinct in its origin. The first beast came out of the sea. The second beast came out of the earth. Okay? It says right there, verse 11. And then the fourth thing I notice is the second beast is distinct in rank, as the second beast serves under the first one. As verse 12 says, it causes the earth to worship the first beast. And it says this beast is going to do signs and wonders, even fire coming down from heaven. That reminds me of Elijah. And honestly, that's part of the deception. So listen, there's a group, you can hit the lights for a second. I love when God does signs and wonders. Listen, I would like to feel his presence more, like during our worship times or whatnot. I sense some other. I would love to feel more. I would like God. God is doing neat, miraculous things. We don't usually boast about it, but it's really cool. But I would like to. I believe God does miracles still today. Do you believe that? Psalm 77:14 says some people don't. A lot of Christians think, "Oh, that's sealed up. He doesn't do those supernatural things no more. He doesn't do those miracles no more." I think he does. In fact, I don't just think he does. I know he does. Psalm 77:14 says, "You are the God who performs miracles." Not you used to be. You are the God who performs miracles. Anyway, however, there's another group of Christians that make it all about signs and wonders. And I've watched some of those guys. I want to even go see them. And some of those guys, I've watched them make it into a show. Even when there's not signs and wonders. I've got lots of stories. I don't want to discourage you, so I don't want to tell you things. But some of that is fake. I'll just be honest. I don't think we should be focusing our ministry on signs and wonders alone. Because listen, it says right here that the dragon is going to do this, the beast is going to do this, the second beast is going to do signs and miracles. Listen, Jesus told us, hit the lights, Chris, sorry, you're busy today. You know, massive bicep there. It says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the very elect." Jesus said, "See, I've told you this ahead of time." Now, if you look at this picture closely, do you notice the difference between the animal and the shadow? Right? The enemy is also going to deceive. So don't just go by signs and wonders alone. Make sure what they say and how they live lines up with the Word of God. Does that make sense? You can counterfeit. Even all the way back to Moses, back in the Old Testament, it says that Moses, God sent him with some signs and wonders, right? And it says that Pharaoh called his magicians, who tap into the demonic side, and they were able to duplicate two or three of those miracles. And then finally, those magicians and those, they said, "We can't do this anymore. This is the finger of God." But there's an evil power or two at work. It goes on to say, "Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived." That's Revelation 13:14. It goes on to say in Revelation 13:15, "The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak in all and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed." So if you don't bow down to whatever this image, if you don't submit to it, it's going to be, you're not on our team, you're not on our side. That's it. Revelation 13:16-17 says, "It also forced all people, doesn't matter how big, how rich, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, everybody, to receive a mark on their hands, actually on their right hands, or their foreheads, so they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name." Hit the lights. Now, I will just say this. I could probably spend a long time, but I don't have a long time. How many minutes? 55. Okay, I'm already at an hour. But let me simply say this. Lord, help me to only say quickly what you want me to say. Listen, even 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, I would have said, I don't know how that's going to happen. Yep. And, you know, Christians can make anything into everything. Barcodes, Christians are like freaking out. Ah-ha, it's end times. You know, but now they actually have chips. We do golden doodles as well as a little hobby. And so we actually put a little medical chip in the golden doodles, and so that they can be scanned, so if they ever run away, it has all their medical information, who the owner is. Now they're doing that for humans. Now they're doing that so that it's powered internally by your body's system. You actually, now they've actually created some things, I probably shouldn't even get into all that, but this is just recently at some of these forums that they were having. The stuff that they're creating that can go into your system and mark your system, and it's all meant, it'll look like, hey, somebody's going to steal your information. Well, why don't we need to have this? How do you know who they are? How do you know what they, if you just had this, wouldn't it be convenient for you? Was it going to be? And the answer is going to be for everybody, well, yeah, I guess it is, or you're going to feel forced, you know, just like, I won't even go there, but they'll force you, believe me. And they'll make you feel like that's the only way. And if you don't do that, well, maybe we're not going to keep you at your job. Maybe we're not going to allow you in your school. Maybe we're not going to allow you to take a cab. Maybe we're not going to let you get food at the grocery store. Maybe you're not going to buy online unless you have this special ID. I don't know. But it's going to happen. And we'll talk about this next, since I'm already at an hour. These last two slides, I'll talk more about it next week. So this is a little leader to have you guys come back. A little, what do they call that? Teaser. Thank you. Right on, Leslie. This is a little teaser. But cliffhanger, yes, teaser. Revelation 13:18 says, this calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and that number is 666. And we'll talk about that more next week, in our next exciting episode of Revelation chapter 14. All right, so let's take a minute and let's pray, because even though we'll try to make it fun and joking around, the bottom line is this is going to be both serious and horrific. So we need to make sure that we are right with the Lord. We need to make sure that we are getting his word. And even who you listen to is important. If you don't know who to listen to or what Bible teachings, will you please text me? I'd be happy to send you tons of audio teachings or stuff on good teachers that I've listened to for 10, 20 years that I know are solid. They might not have the same personality as me. They might be a little different, but they might have cooler stuff or smarter or this and that. I want to make sure you get solid stuff that you can learn about. Any book of the Bible, any chapter of the Bible that you want. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you, Lord, that you are giving us a true lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. I thank you that you are teaching us, illuminating our minds to what's going to come. I pray in Jesus' name that this would help some of us here take you more seriously, take your word more seriously, and even, to be honest, Lord, take the enemy more seriously, how much he hates us, how he's out to deceive us, the power that he has to deceive us, Lord God. These things are real, and the only thing that can stop him is you. And so, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here who does not know you, Lord, that they would cry out to you and say, Lord, I want to be saved right now. Lord, I want you to come into my heart and life. I'm asking you to change me from the inside out. I don't even know exactly how to do it, Lord, but I know I'm a sinner. I know I need you. I know I'm not good enough to get to heaven. I know I need your protection. Will you come into my heart and my life, Lord God, that I would be known by your name, Lord? Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit that I can be an overcomer, Lord God? That I can be a victor, Lord God, in your name, Jesus, Lord God. I know you died and you rose again for me, Lord God. And I just want to live for you for the rest of my life, Lord, and be with you for eternity. Would you please help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's folks here that are struggling, Lord, and I know there are, Will you help them, Lord God? You know what each person needs, and it's too many, Lord God. Would you provide finances for those who need finances? Would you ease the pain of those who are in pain? Will you overcome depression for those who are so discouraged, Lord, and so downtrodden, Lord? Will you give them replace discouragement with joy, Lord God? Would you replace powerlessness with your power, Lord, your resurrection power, the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, Lord God? Would you help our minds to be focused, Lord, not on things below and all that's going down here, but on things above, Lord God, things that matter, Lord God? Will you help us to help others around us, Lord God, and not just be satisfied, well, I'm safe and secure, but to look around and see who we can help in your name, Jesus? Lord, would you just make sure that we're walking in a way that honors you as your ambassadors, Lord? I ask that you would fully empower each one of us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, to live a life worthy of the gospel that you've given us, Lord. I love you, and we love you, and we ask you would help us to live for you with all that we are, Lord, and we all with all that you are. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people together said, amen. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week in Jesus' name.